Can you believe we are here, that this is the last day of Bible study for the year? Crazy, right? And I want you to know, as our journey through 1 Corinthians is coming to the end, I want you to know I am so proud of you, dear sisters. And I really want to take a moment and say, way to go. Because you see, you have invested in the sweetest things. You've invested your time, your energy, in the best things. And you could have been pursuing all kinds of other things with your time, but you chose this. And ladies, I want to remind you that that investment is not going to return void to you. So way to go. You are now going to be wiser, better equipped, stronger, bolder, more hopeful, probably more dependent, closer to God, and closer to the new friends you've made because of the time you have invested here. So again, that is my way to go. And man, I can't say for all of you, but for me, it has been such a sweet time. And personally, I am so sad to see it come to an end, which is actually a little bit ironic. have you ever had a false expectation going into a situation? What you anticipated on the front end was kind of different than what happened in actuality? Well, ashamedly, my attitude going into the study of 1 Corinthians was, you know, I don't really eat food sacrificed to idols, and I don't really speak in tongues during the worship service, so what is God going to teach me here? So embarrassed that that was my attitude. But you know what? I'm also so pleasantly surprised by just the beautiful and rich truths that he had for me personally. How about you? Did you find any nuggets that he had just for you over the course of this study? Did he meet you here within the pages of this book? Did you get your funny questions answered about head coverings and tongues and length of hairstyles and all that? Well, Paul covered a number of topics, a lot of topics, and I don't want you to view all those topics as just a do and don't list, like do this, don't do that. I want you to focus on why did Paul share all this with the church of Corinth? And we've got to come back to the basic. It's because he loved them. See, he wanted to teach them the value of walking with God. And he wanted to make sure they understood that living life's God's way was worth any changes or sacrifices that they might need to make. He didn't want them to miss the fullness of doing life God's way. And ladies, we don't want you to miss that fullness as well. And that's why, if I bring you back, our overarching banner for this whole study has been belief affects behavior. And today, we are going to talk about those two really basic things. Number one, we're going to discuss how our beliefs must be based on biblical truth, and thus, our behavior, will match up and reflect those truths. So what you believe has got to be biblically based, and how you live it has got to reflect those beliefs. So that being said, let's talk about beliefs first. We can all say our beliefs have been substantially informed by a great deal of truth, but we are now accountable for that truth that we possess. And these truths are going to guide us through a lot of the situations that we uncover as we walk through our journey here. But in our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians, we uncovered a lot of situations occurring in Corinth that needed some course correction and were dividing the church. How many times did you hear us say, well, back in Corinth, this and that was going on? And of course, it was problems. But you know, those Corinthians, me, 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 I, we simply can't relate, can we? How amazing is it? I really do kind of marvel here. How amazing is it that God knew that Watermark Plano needed to hear these exact same truths in 2019? When I ponder that, it really does blow my mind. But as we reflect back on some of the situations that were going on in Corinth, I want to see if you can now respond with the correct biblical truth. Let's take a look at some of those beliefs. First situation had to deal with food. The Corinthians wanted to know, hey, do we eat the food sacrificed to idols? And the biblical truth, we learned that, hey, our love should compel us to forego our personal liberties. whether it's what we eat, drink, how we dress, how we drive, we should let love trump liberty. Should sound familiar. Y'all with me on these? All right, the second situation going on in Corinth dealt with the relationships between the Corinthians. And the one that grossly stood out was all the sexual misconduct that was going on. They were basically saying, hey, grace covers it all, so let's do whatever we want. And Paul said, no, what you want really doesn't matter. We have got to trust God to define our moral standards. Trust God to define our moral standards. And because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us physically, it really matters what we do with our bodies. Under that same caveat of relationships, there were a lot of questions in Corinth about marriage, divorce, remarriage, singleness, etc. And just many of the people were not content. And we learned back in chapter 7 that contentedness comes from walking faithfully right where you are. Contentedness comes from walking faithfully right where you are. And just a quick small caveat, they were also really all, you know, flustered up about justice and their lawsuits, and they were really being a bad witness back in Corinth. And Paul said, you know what? Believers need to avoid suing other believers when possible. A believer should not take another believer to court. The third situation that was going on in Corinth really revolved around the worship service and just the body of Christ as a whole. And within the worship service, we all learned that a worship service should be orderly. And I love how Emily said, church should not be a circus. I'm like, yep, that was that's pretty good. That's pretty true. Church should not be a circus. But within the body, we also learned that we have spiritual gifts that are designed to build up the body of Christ and not to build us up individually. And so for those gifts to work well, we need love. Randy reminded us that love is what brings life into our spiritual gifts. It's the oxygen that breathes life into our spiritual gifts. And it's the motivation for why we do what we do. The same topic within the body of Christ, the church, was church discipline. And in Corinth, they were really kind of naysaying on it. They kind of had a negative impression about church discipline. And we've learned that it's actually a really beautiful thing. The purpose of church discipline is to rescue the sinner from sin and to protect the entire body from the spread of sin. Church discipline is a passionate plea to point people to Christ. And on a personal note, we should not be surprised when it's aimed at us, because we are not perfect people and we can get off course from time to time as well. So the fourth situation occurring in Corinth revolved around the resurrection. And basically they were saying, hey, is this even possible? Kind of a no way thing. And we learned not only is the resurrection possible, but it is a critical part of the gospel. And it is our hope for victory over death. Beliefs and truths that we uncovered are really powerful things. And to be quite honest, ideas are powerful things. And I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but I loved to garden. And if you know anything about gardening, you know that the soil is a critical, critical part of your success. Well, we moved this last year, and I inherited these gardens, you guys, with the worst soil ever. I am not exaggerating when I say I could dig up a chunk of it, and I could literally sculpt you a statue because it is pure clay. If you know anything about gardening, that's not so good. And to make matters worse, along our fence, our neighbors have these trees and big shrubs that have grown. Their roots have grown under the fence and are all intertwined in my flower bed. These big, deep, fat roots are in my flower bed. And let's just say they're quite the booger to relocate, if you will. And y'all, ideas are like that. Ideas can be difficult to remove. And for our gardens to work, we have got to get rid of all that bad stuff and replace it with good soil that will work. And Romans 12:2 reminds us of those very things. Excuse me, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what the will of God is. And renewing a mind takes hard work and faithfulness. And it is our hope that you'll remember back in chapter 3, we really talked about sanctification and how important it is for all areas of our life to become more Christ-like. We are hoping now that you are turning away more from your own beliefs and ideas and are turning toward more biblically informed ideas and thoughts that are based on Scripture. If you don't get this, you weren't here. All right. Belief affects behavior. And because we have journeyed through these truths together, we hope that we are all walking differently now. And I know some of you are walking differently now because I've heard stories. See if any of these stories resonate with your own experience here. Maybe now, when temptation comes your way, you take that first sliding glass doorway in the hallway instead of waiting for the more challenging way out later on. Maybe now you found your mouth opening and truth just coming up. You're no longer silent when people start talking about moral issues, whether it's in your neighborhood, your workplace, your kids' school, you are speaking the truth in love. Maybe now there are no really big groups of you standing up in the worship service and speaking in tongues. Maybe now you know and understand your spiritual gifts. And even better, you're learning to be thankful for them. And you're not complaining about them or comparing them to your neighbors. You've learned that when it comes to the spiritual gifts, the grass is not greener. And along the same vein, what really excites me is you have taken active steps to use your gifts to build up the body of Christ. Some of you raised your hand and you said, put me in, coach. Amen. Makes me so happy. Maybe now, love is your motivation for signing up to serve. Maybe now, love is your motivation for stepping into those uncomfortable situations. And you so know the ones I'm talking about. You know, the ones that are kind of like, it's this wild roller coaster and I don't really know where it's going. I just know I need to buckle up. You go, girl, because we need you stepping into those. And maybe for the first time, you're making friends with the role distinctions between the genders. You're grabbing hold of the idea that God's design is best instead of what I think is best. And you're trying more to complete and less to compete. Maybe you or someone close to you is in a rocky marriage and considering divorce. Maybe now you've come to realize that divorce or remarriage later on may not be God's best plan for you. And after a conversation with the one who made us, maybe you've decided to walk faithfully right where you are. I want you to know, I acknowledge that it takes such courage to do so, but I also know that trusting that God's way works will not disappoint you. Maybe now, you don't grieve death as those without hope. You see, for whatever reason, the watching world really pays attention to believers when we're going through a difficult time. And that hope and that beautiful resurrection that gives us hope over the grave is a powerful witness to those around us. Maybe now you're choosing to sanctify more areas of your life. Maybe you're choosing to sanctify what you watch, what you do with your time, where you go. Maybe you are willfully resisting walking in your own red ways, and you're choosing to let the Spirit lead you and to refine you into more biblically based ways. Some of you are pursuing sanctification and you are swimming hard. We're going to talk about that again here in a minute. I want you to know that as our lives become more fully yielded to God's will and God's ways, you're going to stand out. And ladies, this should encourage you because, my sweet sisters, you were not made to blend in. You were made to stand out. Let me hear from those peacocks in the room. I know there's some. Now that our structured times on Wednesday morning is coming to an end, I don't want you to be that fat, little, carnal Christian that doesn't grow. And I don't want you to be the idle Christian that begins to drift. How do you avoid the drift? Ladies, you're going to have to be proactive and you're going to have to purpose yourself to get your nose in God's word, whether that's in a Bible study or starting one, whatever. We'll talk about options for that a little bit later on. But the bottom line is, any time in God's word is going to benefit you. And the irony here is, okay, while I still don't eat meat sacrificed to idols and I still don't speak in tongues in the worship service, I can get significant nuggets from any book of the Bible that I invest my time in. And I've walked with the Lord for a while. I should not be surprised that I have these just gold nuggets just dropped in my lap when all I do is step up and say, I'm in. Step up and say you're in. Take those steps. Be that acorn that turns into that thriving oak tree for Christ. Now, I have a challenge for you. When you go home, I do not want you to take this book and file it away on the shelf. When you get home, I want you to keep it in your line of sight. I want you to put it on a counter or somewhere that you will regularly see it for 7 days. And every time you walk by that book, I want you to think, Lord, am I done? Have I taken all the faithful steps that you want me to take? Every time you pass by it. And at the end of the 7 days or when you feel the Lord release you, then feel free to file it away. But I want to leave you with a prayer that Paul prayed over the Corinthians in chapter 16. In verses 13 and 14, he said, be on your guard, stand firm, be courageous, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love.